So what I'm going to suggest this morning, and I don't often do this, but I want to read the passage that I read last week. I read it out of the Message Bible. I want to read out of the NIV because he literally talks about peace with God. So I'm going to suggest that, you know, often they talk about breathing and putting, I mean, a lot of people talk about putting our body in a place of worship. You know, often we can think, I'll sort of sit like this all bunched over and ask for God to fill my life. You know, and people say, well, why don't you, like, sometimes put your hands, lift your head, place your body in a position that reflects, you know, your worship and even just your posture with God. So sometimes people prostrate themselves on the floor, or they kneel on the floor with their arms raised and their hands held high. All of that is important. Our bodies are not disconnected from what our spirit is doing, or what the spirit is doing with our spirit, and things like that. So sometimes just it helps to sit comfortably in a chair. Alexander always advises me. I always sit with my legs crossed, slouched over, and things like that. And he always says to me, sit with your back straight, so you can breathe easily. Sit with both your legs grounded on the floor. And sometimes if it helps, just to hold your hands in an easy place and even just lift them to the Lord in worship. And often we can just sit at rest and breathe and be in a place of rest and breathing. So I'm going to read this passage to you. And I want to invite you just to close your eyes and listen. And then, just for a minute or two, we're just going to be quiet. And I'd like you to be attentive to where you have been feeling tension, anxiety, if there are things that you're stressed about, that you've been thinking about the last few weeks, if there is even tension in your body. And I'd like you just to sit and just be aware of it, just be conscious of it. And then as your hands are open, just lift that, place that before the Lord. And we'll do that for about a minute or two, and then I'm going to read the passage again. And then I'll preach and make you anxious for the next half hour. No, that's a joke. So Romans 5, I could preach on this every week. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. So therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. The Message Bible that I read to you last week, that one phrase was translated, "We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that He's already thrown open His doors to us." And we find ourselves where we always hoped we might stand. We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. So this morning I actually wanted to get to talking about breath and breathing and grace and space. But I want to just settle on this passage just for a little bit more. It's just one of my favorite passages. And I just love the sense in which that there's the sense of peace, access to God. And as the Message says it like this, we find ourselves standing where we always hoped we would stand, in wide open spaces of God's grace. So I shared quite a bit about that last week, and just a few other passages that built on that. Psalm 18 and other places where God just talks about giving us space. And here, grace, it's almost like the sense is that we have space and rest and place to breathe. Places free from anxiety and tension and stress and all those lovely things that, in actual fact, are quite prevalent at this time of year. It tends to be this crazy and stressful time. People trying to finish things up, everyone wanting to do something, even a carols thing next Sunday night, and 40 million other things. This morning we woke up, it was the 94.7. I know there's a couple of people, between Dylan riding, there's a few people that are like, we don't even want to go on the road. It's just craziness. So I dropped Bev down, Jackie picked her up on the corner of Jan Smuts. Bev walked across the road, Jackie brought her here, and I drove round. And I drove through, I mean, one of the most, you know, peaceful, wide open spaces of Bromfontein. Trying to just go under the Nelson Mandela Bridge in the one road. It was so funny because the one road that we had to turn and then sort of, you know, go off towards the gasworks under the bridge that way, they'd taken over four lanes. In actual fact, it was two lanes that were meant to be coming up and two lanes going down. And the cars had gone into all four lanes to turn into the road that goes under the M1. And I was like, like Lagos on a Sunday morning or something. It was just, there was no space. The cars were packed on top. It was just like, take a gap, you know, shoot. As you pull into the road, look left and right and all kinds of things. So it was like such a crazy metaphor of the opposite of what I wanted to talk on this morning. And what I sense the Lord is like offering to us, to you and to I at this time. You know, I said it last week, I said it again. It's for most people, you know, even around the world, around the country, like November, December is a busy time. But Joburg is one of those cities that it's almost we pride ourselves in being busy and stressed and everything is important all year round. So when you think of like a place just to be at rest and, you know, places of you know, no traffic and no anxiety, and we don't really put Joburg right at the top there. You know, it's like you want to come here for jobs. People come here to earn money. They don't often come here on holiday. People kind of think if you want a break, you've got to get out of the city. And that's just kind of how we think. But the gospel tells us that there is another type of peace and rest and space that God offers us despite the traffic and work and everything like that. And how do we access this? So that when I'm in the traffic, and you know, for me, this is one of those things, it's just such a hard ask, okay? That when I'm in the traffic, I would experience just peace. That, you know, that one day in heaven, when someone cuts in front of me, I'll be like, God bless you. Take the space, you know. We were taught to drive. You know, you're meant to drive with, and the faster you drive, the more space you need in the car in front of you. And my dad taught me to drive, and I remember we were driving into town. So he used to work at the bottom end, Standard Bank at the bottom end of town, and there were times that whether I was going to university or wherever it was, and school and things like that, I remember going down Bayers Nordier Drive in the morning. So morning traffic, like 7 o'clock, we were driving down Bayers Nordier, and my dad was like, do not leave a space, because if you hang back, someone's going to pull in front of you, you know.
Someone else's space.
So I have this funny, you know, all this conventional wisdom of leave a space so that you don't, like, if the car stops in front of you, don't. My dad was like, you don't leave a space, because if you leave a space, someone's going to cut in front of you. And it was like, and it's obviously like stuck with me, you know. But so contrary to the way God wants us to live and to experience rest and peace. So this passage, why it's just my favorite, is that Paul says here that when we rely on Jesus, when we come to Jesus, when we surrender our lives to Him, when we decide to stop trying to earn favor with God, when we decide that we're tired of trying to live life our own way, when we come and we go, God, oh God, oh God, I need you. I need your help for this life, for this world. And so whatever phrases you want to use, I always think of it as just like just capitulating. Just coming as we sang that song, I surrender. There are times in our life, and there needs to come a time when we come and we surrender and we say, Jesus, we are yours. We belong to you. So people often, I mean, you know, different traditions and that say sometimes it's a journey, it often is. But very often, it's a crisis. You know, often there's a moment when we just say, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. And Lord, now I rely on you. I'm coming to you for help. And that's kind of what Paul is talking about, being justified by faith. When we come and we say, Jesus, I lay my life before you, and I want to do this life with you as King, as Savior. So many of us learnt in the 80s, you know, we said prayers, confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And all of that is important. It's powerful. It often brings you at that moment of crisis to say, I surrender and I confess that I need you as the Lord of my life, as the King of my life. But it's a decision to walk. It's a decision to turn from one way of life and embrace a different kind of life. A life of living with Jesus, following him, and in the words of the New Testament, being a disciple. Another more common term is just being a lifelong learner, a student. And that just resonates with me. I think I'm always learning about this new kind of life, this kingdom life. And for me, it's not just a moment of crisis. It's a way of learning that is unlearning. Again, just, you know, the extreme of the traffic, you know, and in that sense, I'm always unlearning. And then relearning. Paul talks about renewing of the mind, transformation. It's learning to embrace the rhythms that Jesus gives us. And so when Paul says here, he says, when we've come to this place of embracing Christ, when we throw our arms around him, we believe in him, we say, I need you, something shifts in the heavenlies, in our bodies, in our lives. Something shifts. And he says, we have peace with God. And you know, I never forget when I prayed that prayer as a young teenager, late at night on my bed. I, Kodak moment, remember, something changed in my heart. And I was like, I had no words to describe it, but something just felt it had shifted. And so, you know, so John says, we need to be born again. We need to experience this peace that now we know that we know. I don't need to fight with God. I don't need to strive with him. I don't need to earn his favor. There's nothing I can do to make him like me or help him answer my prayers or bend his arm or... No, I'm at peace. I'm at rest. I don't have to strive. And this brings you, this phrase goes in and he says, we have peace with God and through Jesus, through this Christ, through this Lord of our lives, we have access to God. Isn't that incredible? We are not saved from hell, saved for heaven. Yes, we are. But we are saved for access into the throne room of God. He has saved us, not for one day, but for this day, that we can be in the presence of Yahweh himself, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of our fathers, the God that David wrote all these songs to. We can just have access. It's amazing. And then in this Trinitarian, because this is why I just love this verse 1-5, it ends off with not only that. It's not only do we have access, but the love of God is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And you know, if we sit and we just meditate on that for a moment or a day or keep this passage for the week, we just keep thinking. It just all flows into one another. I don't need to strive with God. I'm at peace with him. And not only that, I'm in relationship with him that I can come to him and be with him at any time of the day, wherever I am. And it's not just that he allows us to be with him, but he has included us in his family. That this access means this flooding into our lives of a love that we've only had glimpses of, that Hollywood and Netflix and everything like that can just give you like these little like glimmers. But it is above anything that we can think or even imagine. The divine love, the holy love that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit share in complete holiness and unity and beauty and oneness. He says, can I pour that out into your life? I mean, I just go like, wow. It's not that we just have peace. It's that we are profoundly overwhelmed by the heart of the Father. So we, in this world, where Peter talks about the fact we feel like aliens. We feel like exiles. We're foreigners at times. There are times that we're fighting. There are times that we think everyone is against us. And yet what Paul says, yeah, they might be. For Paul it was. Everyone was out to kill him. And they eventually did. And he was like, not only am I at peace with God through Jesus my Lord, I'm accepted and I'm loved. And it doesn't matter what they do with me. So there's that sense in which as God has included us in his family, on his team, it doesn't matter what else we're excluded from. Because that can define and change who we are. So, and I've shared this so many times, but peace. For Paul to write to the Romans, for Peter to write from Rome and start his letters and end his letters with grace to you and peace. And Paul says in like every letter all over the place, grace and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace in that place was, it was such a subversive word because the Roman Empire was all about peace. It was all about the Pax Romana. It was printed on the coins. You couldn't go and buy bread or milk or give a beggar change without just being aware of this peace that defined the empire. And yet, there are these Christians, these new followers of the way, they called them, that were using this word the whole time. And it was so subversive because it's like, you know, it's an echo of Jesus' words. We're not of this world. And it was like he was saying, well, this place is all about peace. But let's talk about real peace. We have peace, not because we're a Roman citizen and not a slave. We have peace not because the Huns are kept at the borders and the storehouses of grain are full, which is exactly what they were talking about. Paul says, we have peace with God. And then for Paul and Peter, who were writing in the midst of this, I mean, you've just got to think that they weren't thinking in Greek, which they were writing, and they were also thinking in Hebrew as Jews. And so peace has this history right through the Jewish people and this very, very rich just like multifaceted, multi-layered word for Jews is shalom. And so while they're writing about peace because of the Roman world, they're talking and they're thinking theologically about shalom. And shalom is all, it's like it's untranslatable because it's peace and it's wholeness. So shalom is the opposite of when we are busy and harried and harassed and frantic in November. And in the, at the end of November, when everyone wants a piece of you, shalom is the exact opposite of that. It is wholeness. It's the Holy Spirit running, and I always think of it as all that disc defrag. Ben, you'll remember that. You know, the old, you run that, and it's just like, can this whole thing come together and be whole? So it's healing and emotional, spiritual well-being and togetherness. And it's provision and prosperity. It's access to the Father who cares for us as children, who wants us to be provided for. And 40 other things. Shalom. It's us being renewed, being made whole, being at peace with God, experiencing His fullness. It's His grace. It's being, it's standing. Shalom is standing in the favor of God. We're in the Aaronic blessing. We're experiencing His face shining upon us. Because He loves us and He's chosen us and He wants to pour His love into our hearts. That's shalom. And so everything I want to talk about, these practices that unwind us from, it's all rooted. We have to have this understanding that God has done this profound and world, it's like eternity-changing event. So that we can have access to His face and His shalom. And so the Eastern fathers, trying to just look for metaphors and things, spoke about, they talk about the divine embrace. And the perichoresis, the divine dance. And it's just this community of love and acceptance and inclusion that God experiences as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That this divine embrace is that we have been granted access into that embrace of family and love and acceptance. We are chosen. However you try to figure out how that works. I love Peterson's translation is that we fling open the doors to God. That's surrender. We sing, I surrender to you. We used to pray, I accept you into my life. I choose you. You know, and it's like we choose God. And it's only like later we go, yeah, that's just so wrong. It's like He chose me. He's been hounding me my whole life. He's been including me, reaching out to me, calling me. Chasing me. And now when I finally give up and go, oh, I chose you. He goes, seriously? Come, let me fling my arms around you because you finally get it. And let me fill you with love and include you in this embrace, you moron. Sorry, that's just me. And so that is meant to just define who we are. You know, the reformers had something quite powerful about this justification thing. They were like, and it's meant to define you. Your status has changed. You are no longer a sinner, but a saint. There's this divide of you are justified by faith. You're someone new, you're someone else. And then you bring in this Eastern dance, mysticism, funny stuff, and it's like, it's just going ongoing. I need to find myself in this embrace daily. So I'm going to talk about some of those practices. Last week I said, you know, so much of every app, secular and spiritual, and most spiritual writers, Christian writers at the moment, just talking about just unplug, just be quiet. So last week I was just saying, one practice to do is just find a time in the day, or find times in the day. If you can only do it for 5 or 10 minutes, just to be silent, just to be still. And if you could take this passage, a few of those times this week, and just read it for yourself. So take a time of quiet. Take this passage, maybe take a journal, write it out. Some people talk about just writing scripture, it's helpful for them. Just write, maybe just write it in your own words, or write the phrase or the word that is sticking with you. It'll be different for every single one of us. Maybe, and I'm just, it's to journal that, or don't. But take something. Lynn often teaches that there's something that sits with you, a word, a phrase that, it might just feel heavier. It might just glisten. And then sit with that, with the Lord. Just bring it to Him and just converse with Him about it. And crucially for me at this time of the year, crucially, can I sit with open arms? And I've got two hands, and with one hand, I almost need to be, this is what I'm feeling stressed about. So you can use both hands, but continually, here's work. Here's my here's my neighbor. Here's the gardener next door with the leaf blower. Often that, you know. So we're just saying, here's what I'm anxious about. And my hands are open because I want to be included. Here are my hands. Would you take me by the hand and include me in this embrace of peace and shalom and community and love and wholeness?